Right, but
yeah. Now tonight, in some respects, I want to preach about a children's nursery rhyme. And I've entitled my sermon tonight, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Well, just read a reading from the Bible and then you'll see how we go, I think. And we're reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. As we approach Christmas, we're inundated with all the cacophony of noise and commercialism at this season. The shops are filled with loads of must-have gifts, although if the truth be known, none of them are absolutely necessary. The credit cards are either melting as people spend as if there's no tomorrow. There's a long queue at the supermarket checkouts as people stock up on more food than they can possibly use, a lot of which will be thrown away in January. The air is full of merry songs about snowmen and windmills, and reindeer and robins, and my true love said to me. But where's the reason for the season? I heard that within the last few days, someone went into a gift shop to buy a nativity scene, only to be told that they don't stock religious stuff at Christmas because there's no call for it. Well, doesn't anybody care about what Christmas is about? If you ask, many people will say, well, it's all about the children. But do even the children know what it's about? And as I thought about this, I was reminded that as a child, most of us learned nursery rhymes. And one of those, which I'm sure we all learned, is entitled Mary Had a Little Lamb. And it went something like this. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Now there are more words to it, of course, but those are the few lines of enough to remind us of the little childhood song. And as we sang that song when we were children, we'd no idea that something like that had actually happened. I don't think I was ever told that the Bible told the same story, that a young girl named Mary did indeed have a little lamb. Well, that's what happened in this text in Matthew's Gospel. It seems that Joseph, a carpenter in Nazareth, is engaged to a young Jewish girl called Mary. They are betrothed, which means that they are legally married, but have not even started living together. During this time, word comes to Joseph that Mary is pregnant. Now, Joseph knows that he isn't the father, but he's sure that somebody is. He believes that Mary's been unfaithful to him, and he decides to get a divorce. Yet, because he loves Mary, he wants to do this thing quietly, because the penalty for committing Mary's crime is death by stoning. However, before he can put his plan into action, God sends an angel to tell Joseph that the situation isn't at all and what he thinks it is. He tells his Jewish husband that Mary is carrying a child that was miraculously fathered by the Holy Spirit of God. He's told that this child will be a special child with a special mission, that in fact, this child is to be the Saviour. Now Joseph's reaction is to take Mary into his home and wait with her until the day the baby is born. What they didn't realize, that this baby who was growing Mary's body was not other than the Lamb of God, who would one day die for the sins of all men. Verse 25 tells us that Mary eventually delivered this child, and when she did, the Lamb of God was born, in one of the greatest stories of all Scripture, and we learn the truth that indeed Mary did have a little lamb. And it's that lamb, the Lord Jesus, I'd like to speak about this evening. I'd like to share three characteristics of Mary's little lamb with you. First off, Mary's lamb was a special lamb. His conception was special. Jesus Christ had no human father. His father is God himself. What makes the conception of the Lord Jesus so fantastic is the fact that he was born to a virgin. Now we all know the normal method by which babies are conceived and brought into this world. However, the conception of Jesus was different. His mother was a virgin. We are told this in Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. Luke 1 verses 34 to 35 said, How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. Now that's an essential doctrine. Without a virgin birth, we don't have a sinless Saviour, and we have no hope of salvation. It's impossible to be saved and yet to deny the truth of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, his conduct was special. From the day that Jesus came into this world until the day he ascended back into heaven, he was a person of very special characteristics. First off, he performed miracles. He could feed multitudes, open blinded eyes, heal the sick, even raise the dead. Walking on water posed no problem for the Lord Jesus, and neither was still in a violent storm. Everything he did marked him out as being special. But these activities were merely proof that he was indeed who he claimed to be. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, Jesus is quoted as saying, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed. And secondly, his messages were special. When Jesus opened his mouth, people marvelled at the things he said. Even when he was only 12 years old, the doctors of the law were astonished at him as he debated the scriptures with them in the temple. Luke 2 verse 47 says, Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When he began his ministry, he continued to amaze the crowds that heard him speak. Luke chapter 4 verse 22 says, All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. But then his methods were special. Even the way Jesus carried himself set him apart from the others around him. He never stooped to the level of his enemies, but he always kept his Father's will the centre of his focus. Nothing mattered to Jesus but pleasing his heavenly Father. John chapter 8 verse 29 tells us, Jesus said, The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I am always do what pleases him. There's never been another like Jesus, and there never will be. He was, and he is, one of a kind. Mary's little lamb was indeed special. And then his claim was special. Jesus was never shy about telling people who he was. In fact, his claims were what caused the Jews to seek his death. Well, what was the claim that Jesus made that was so offensive to these people? Well, the answer to that question is twofold. First, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. John 10, verse 35 and 36, we're told, "If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own Son and sent him into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's Son?" Jesus claimed that he was Son of God in heaven. All the people supposed him to be the son of Joseph. However, Jesus claimed a special relationship with the Father in heaven. Just as the doctrine of the virgin birth is essential to salvation, so is the doctrine that Jesus is the Son of God. Until a person comes to the place that they're willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God, then they cannot be saved. Then secondly, Jesus claimed to be God. John 14 verse 9 tells us, "Jesus answered, 'Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?'" And then in John chapter 10 verse 30 we're told, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." This claim was even more offensive to the Jews than the other one. By making this claim, Jesus was telling them that he was eternal, that he was their God, and that they needed to bow down before him and acknowledge him as their God. And this they were not willing to do. Mary's little lamb was indeed a special lamb. But Mary's lamb was also a sacrificial lamb. Mary's little lamb came into the world for one purpose: not to walk on water, not to heal the sick, not to open blind eyes, not to calm storms. He came for the sole purpose of dying. He was a special lamb, but he also came to be the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Jesus came to die for the sins of humanity. Luke tells us that his mission in this world was to seek and save that which was lost. And if he was going to accomplish this, there was a price that had to be paid. And he paid that price when he went to the cross and died for our sins. But just think about this sacrificial lamb. It was a spotless lamb. Now, in the traditional Jewish sacrificial system, before any lamb could be offered as a sacrifice, he had to be examined thoroughly and declared spotless. An animal that was impure or deformed could not be offered. For Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins demanded that he be a perfect specimen. He had to be human, without spot or blemish. And Jesus filled this bill perfectly. Not only was he the Son of God, he was the sinless Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 tells us, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." When Jesus died on the cross, he was shedding innocent blood. He was dying in the place of all the guilty sinners who had ever been and would ever be. He was a pure lamb dying for a wretched world. And then he was a submissive lamb. Jesus wasn't forced into his role as a sacrifice. He willingly submitted to all he endured. He did it out of a heart of love for you and me. Remember, Jesus was God in the flesh. This is the creator of the universe that we're talking about. He could have called down 12 legions of angels if he wanted to. Matthew 26 verse 53 quotes Jesus as saying, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" He could have spoken the word and his executioners and accusers would have vanished away into nothingness. He could have expressed the thought and everything would have been no more. But he didn't. He endured the shame and the pain without uttering a word. He submitted to the Father's will and paid the price for sin. He truly was a submissive lamb. And when he did speak, it was to pray for the forgiveness of his tormentors. Jesus was surrendered to his Father's will. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the cross was just a few short hours away, Jesus could be found in prayer calling for the Father's will to be done. And then he was a sacrificed lamb. All the rest meant nothing unless this part was fulfilled. It wasn't enough for Jesus to be sinless and surrendered. He had to suffer and die before sin could ever be done away with. In Hebrews 9 verse 22 we read, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Thank God that on that cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins and literally became sin for you and me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When they took the Lord Jesus outside the city of Jerusalem, nailed him to a cross, and there he died, it was for your sins and mine. When that blood was pouring from his body and his life was ebbing away, it was as if a giant billboard advertising the awesome love of God had been erected for all sinners to see. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mary's little lamb was a special lamb. Mary's little lamb was a sacrificial lamb. But Mary's lamb is also a saving lamb. If the story ended here, with Jesus dead on the cross, this would be a sad story to tell. There'd be no reason to celebrate Christmas and no need to come to church. There would be no salvation and no hope for our souls. If he died and that was the end of him, that would be the end of us as well. But thank God the story doesn't end there. 3 days after Jesus died on that cross, he came forth alive from the tomb, and he's still alive today. Yes. Since this is true, I just want to show you that what the Lamb of God, Mary's little lamb, can do today. He still has the power to save sinners. Those who are lost in sin have a hope today. They can turn to the Lord Jesus and he will save their souls. There are 3 basic things that he will do in the heart and life of every sinner that will come to him by faith. First, he can cleanse sin. His blood has the power to wash away sins forever. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin." When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his death and resurrection as the payment for your debt of sin, he washes you in his blood and your sins are no longer an issue. And secondly, he can convert souls. Now, the human soul is a wicked thing. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It's lost and undone and cannot have fellowship with God." However, when a sinner trusts Jesus for salvation, Jesus takes the life that was so far away from God and brings it near to God. When Jesus does the saving work on your soul, he makes you pleasing in the sight of God and allows you to enter in a special relationship with God. Because when you are saved, you too become a child of God. You are no longer far from God, but in Jesus you are saved and brought into close relationship with the Father above. Then thirdly, he can change sinners. When he saves someone, he also changes that person. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, a famous verse, tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." And many of us have heard this verse so often that it seems so familiar. But the truth needs to be understood by everyone here, that if you are saved, you have been changed. You can no longer be like you were before. Everything has changed and can never be the same again. Jesus takes the worst sinner and turns them into the best saints. And then four, he has the power to secure saints. Those who come to Mary's little lamb need never fear losing what they've been given. When Jesus saves a soul, he does it for all eternity. If you are saved today, you will be saved forever. John 10 verse 28 tells us, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. If you've been putting off salvation because you're afraid that you can't do it, then let me encourage you to stop looking at yourself and what you can do. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If he can save you, then he can keep you saved. And if he can't keep you, and if he can't save you to begin with, after all, that was his greatest miracle. So, when you think about Christmas this year, try to keep things in perspective. Christmas must not be allowed to continue its slide into paganism, commercialism, and the world of fantasy. You and I, who've been exposed to the truth of God's word, need to remember that Christmas is about that special day when God sent his Son into the world with the sacrifice for our sins. Christmas is about you coming to know God. After all, that's why God sent his Son into the world. Mary had a little lamb. Praise God that she did. Amen.